Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
Last Sunday, we looked at a lesson from God's Word as it pertains to marriage. What does God have to say about marriage, and what does God want us to do whenever we find those things in the Scripture, that we might be able to apply those standards to our lives, that not only will we be pleasing and acceptable to Him, but also that our marriage relationships here in this world would not only be as God expects, but as we need them to be for the sake of our homes, but also for the sake of our relationship with one another. This morning, I want to bring a lesson from God's Word about parenting. And as we go through our lesson this morning, I want us to understand that God wants us as parents to parent in such a way that will bring glory and honor to our God. As we begin with our lesson this morning, I want to begin with a poem. And that poem is written by Michael Hodgson. And the poem goes like this. Child-raising theories did abound before my children were around. Then one day I had my own. Now all those theories I disown. Energy was once my friend. Now I am at my strength's end. Fortune gone, the fridge is empty. My child has now become a teen. Certainly all of us who are parents can relate with raising children. And before we had our children, probably we bought into our own schools of thoughts or things that others had shared with us. And then whenever our children came along, we found out how wrong we were and how right probably our parents were, and the things that they had tried with us, we are now trying, or we tried with our children. You know, raising children is hard. We live in a world today where that the world is not going according to the direction of God, and trying to raise our children as Christians to go in the direction of God, to me it seems, is getting harder and harder as time moves forward. But you know, as I think about today, I also, though, understand is that it's always been hard to raise children. And somebody says, no, Kevin, you go back in the Old Testament Scripture and even during the times of the life and teachings of Christ, it didn't seem to be quite as hard. Friends, let's go all the way back shortly after the beginning of time with Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. Can you imagine trying to raise Cain? That would have been most difficult. And in today, certainly it is challenging, but God wants us to understand is that there have always been challenges to being parents, and with God's help, we are able to abound. To begin with, I want us to think about some common denominators that all of us as parents face. Parenting comes with a variety of ups and downs. There are times in raising children that things are very good. Whenever we are able as a family to be able to have time to spend with each other, to build memories, and to have that quality opportunity to get to know one another, and for our relationships to strengthen and to abound, are just wonderful. Family vacations, there can be pros and cons, correct? The times that we're able to go and to explore with one another are blessings. But whenever the kids are sitting in the back seat, getting on one another's nerves, that's not so good. Whenever the kids are constantly saying, are we there yet? And in reality, we've not even left town. Those are times that we might say are not so much the ups, but the downs. And there are those times when our children bring great blessings and great joy to our lives because we see the excitement of the things that happen in their lives. I saw that this last Tuesday whenever we were playing in Morrison, and Abe, playing on our basketball team, scored his first points in a game, and Dale and Holly's faces lit up, and my face even lit up to see this young man do what he did. Parenting and being a part of kids' lives has its ups and its downs, does it not? And in this, you know, our goal as Christians, we want to be the best parents that we can. And really, probably, if we're honest with ourselves and even with others, we would like to be able to be the perfect parents, would we not? But at the same time, today I want us to understand is that there's no such thing as a perfect parent. Now, grandparents might argue with me and say, well, you know, for parents that's true, but there are perfect grandparents. And Dawn and I are still waiting to find that out. Whenever, hopefully, one day we become grandparents. But I want to share something with you in regard to this, and that is, I read something about a mother who went to the public library locally, and she approached the librarian about books on parenting. And she said, can you tell me, do you have any good books on parenting? And the librarian looked at her and she said, if you're looking for books on how to have perfect children or on how to be the perfect parent, then you need to go to the fiction section of the library. You know, none of us will ever be able to be perfect parents, but yet at the same time, God wants us to strive diligently for perfection and to raise our children according to the standards that He gives us in the Scripture. And the way in which we're going to be able to accomplish this, to raise our children to the glory of our God's name, is if we will follow the directions that God gives us. God gives us direction in and through His Word for everything in life. If we want to know how to be a faithful Christian, the instructions are in the Scripture. If we want to know how to be a productive citizen in this world, the instructions are in the Scripture. And if we want to learn how to be a parent that will raise our children to the glory of our God, the instructions are in the Bible. You know, one person said that whenever it comes to raising children, it's much like baking a cake. Whenever you bake a cake, it's most important that you have a recipe. And not just have a recipe, but that you have a good recipe. Whenever our wives and our ladies have a recipe that people compliment, that becomes a good recipe. And we want to share that with others. And there are other recipes that we try it. And in fact, Dawn has tried some recipes and she'll say, what do you think? And some of them gets a thumbs up. Some of them gets two thumbs up and some of them get this. And those that get this, we know that, well, we don't necessarily want to try that recipe again. But those that especially get the two thumbs up, not only do we try that again, but it's also spread to others. Well, whenever it comes to raising our children and using that analogy or comparison to the cake and the recipe, we need to understand that not only must we have the good recipe, but we must realize that it takes time and that we must not skimp on the ingredients. We must apply all of the standards that God gives us in the Scripture. And what God wants us to realize is that bringing our children up in the world, not necessarily to fit into the world, not so concerned about whether or not they're popular amongst the children at school, not so much as to if they're able to go out and to earn 80, 90, or $100,000+ a year. But the most important thing that we need to focus on as Christian parents, and that is bringing our children up in the Lord to the glory and honor of His name. Not only do I believe that there are common denominators that all of us face, also there is a common target that Christian parents share as we're seeking to raise our children. And I want us to draw the primary points for our lesson this morning from what the Apostle Paul shares with us in his message to the saints in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through verse 12, but more specific to the lesson this morning, verse 12. As you read into the context here, the Apostle Paul is referring to and using an analogy in regard to how that he worked amongst those in Thessalonica as a father as well as a nursing mother. And in the context, what he identifies is that he wanted so much as a father figure as well as a mother personality before those in Thessalonica. He wanted to get these individuals to where that they would walk worthy before God. And certainly as parents, isn't that our hope, our aim? is that we want to raise our children so that they will walk worthy of our God. What does it mean to walk worthy of God? It means that they will walk in such a way that will please and glorify our God. It means that we are raising our children so that someday they also will have a faith in God. And based out of their faith in God, they will also now have a love in God and be obedient to God and become New Testament Christians. But friends, you and I want them to do more than just to be baptized. Amen? We want them to be able to be faithful Christians as they go throughout the course of their life. And that's what Paul was wanting with those in Thessalonica. He didn't want them just to put Christ on in baptism. That's where a relationship with God begins. But he wanted them to walk continually each and every day of their life worthy of God, worthy of the relationship that they were able to gain in and through their obedience to Christ in baptism. You say, Kevin, what does that mean? It means that we are required as parents for them to train them in such a way that they would become lovers of our Lord. Whenever I say that they need to become lovers of our Lord, what exactly am I trying to get across? I want them to love God above anyone or anything else in this world. And the reason that I say I want this is because I believe that that's what God is seeking. God wants our children certainly to love one another, to love their siblings. God wants our children also to love their parents. But at the same time, God does not want them to love us as parent or to love their siblings or even their grandparents for that matter more than what they love God. And in this, we need to spend adequate time as well as instructions to help them to understand is that, yes, they must love us and they should love us and that we're seeking that. But at the same time, our ultimate goal as parents, as Christians, members of the Lord's church, is that we want our children to love God above what they love us. You know, in this, God gives parents a responsibility into this very end. And as a result of that, we need to utilize the chances that God gives us to bring these children up to where that they will walk according to the ways of our God. How do we do that? We do that in part through educating them, teaching them the Word of God. We do that also by training them, making sure that they are at the services and that they are not only here with us in the services, but also that they are participating in our worship services and that they are able to be at their classes and able to engage with the fellow students in those classes. And if the teachers in those classes have workbooks or papers that they send home, that we sit with our children and we help them to work through those things that the Bible school teachers have given them to work through, and then they're able to take those things back and to be able to engage in those classes. And therefore, we're doing all that we can as parents to raise them to love God so that they will learn in their lives to walk according to the ways of God, and therefore they will walk worthy before our God. There are some common tactics that we must engage in or that we must implement, and the Apostle Paul deals with these also in this context. You know, he wanted to encourage them, but also he wanted them to encourage one another and to encourage every Christian in their walk with our God. And therefore, today I stand before you and say that our children require encouraging from us each and every day of our life. This world, I've already said that they're not helping us to raise our children. And this world, not only is a discouragement to us in that form or fashion, but they are a discouragement to our children in just an unreal amount of ways. Our kids, for instance, sometimes are picked on because they're the small kids. Sometimes our kids are picked on because they're the tall kids. Sometimes our kids are picked on because they're the skinny kids. And sometimes our kids are picked on because they're the big kids. You know, our kids are picked on, taunted and teased for just, you name it, endlessly. And a lot of times our kids, even if they're not picked on at school, they don't feel as if they fit in. They're young in their adolescent stages, and they're growing and they're developing. And it's very challenging times for these children. And they need constant encouraging each and every day. I was reading and studying for the lesson today and looking for an illustration that would help to illustrate this point. And I read about Jackie Robinson. Jackie Robinson was the first black man to play in Major League Baseball. And in that, he was playing in the field and he committed an error. And whenever he committed an error, and understand that this is in the day and time when blacks playing on any sports team was looked down upon. He committed an error. And the crowd, his home crowd, commenced to booing him and hollering things from the stands and just kept on. It wasn't just one thing. They kept on. And finally, Pee Wee Reese went up and stood beside him and put his arm around him. And whenever Pee Wee Reese did that, the crowd silenced. Years later, Jackie Robinson, in an interview, said that that arm around my shoulder saved my career. The Greek word for encourage or encouraging or encouragement literally means to stand beside. And it means to exhort. And our children need us to stand beside them every day because the world does not stand with them according to God's ways. But friends, also, we must strive to bring comfort to our children on a continual basis. You know that old adage, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. The truth of the matter is that it does harm us emotionally. We deal with those things and we carry those things continually. And probably, and in fact, I'm going to say there are times that I've even talked with adults who still say that they were taunted as kids and that those things still trouble them even into this very day. And as parents, as adults especially, we tend to learn as we grow to work through that. And while it still may trouble us, it doesn't affect us anymore like it did whenever we were a child. And we need to go back and to understand is that our children are dealing with so many things. I remember as a young boy myself that going into our bedroom of a night, my brother and I, we shared a bedroom. And going into our bedroom of a night, I had this constant fear that the boogeyman was going to get me. And if the boogeyman didn't get me, then the clown picture that hung on the wall, he was going to get me. And the clown picture that hung on the wall, the eyes were, the painting, it was a painting, and he was painted in such a way that no matter where you were in that room, that clown just watched you. And I remember crying out to Mom time and time again, "Mom, the clown's watching me again." And she'd go, "Go to sleep. Go to sleep." And sometimes, though, she would come in and she would stand beside the bed and she would pray with us, which always brought comfort. A little 4-year-old girl was dealing with some issues about going to bed of a night. And her mom and dad had talked to different ones about ways that they might be able to encourage her and to bring her comfort so that she would be able to get a rest. And they were Christians. And I'll use it this way because I don't know how the story really lays out. But they were Christians. And the friends told him, said, "You know, just assure her that God is with her no matter what." And the parents set her down and they said, "You know, no matter what we're facing in life, God is with us." And in fact, the Bible teaches us, does it not, is that God is a God of all comfort. And they told her that. They said, "God will bring you comfort no matter what." And the little girl that night, she went into her room and the parents kissed her goodnight and they turned the lights off and they walked out of the room and they went into their room and they laid down and they hadn't much more laid down on the pillow and here came the little girl once again into the room and the little girl says, Mommy, can you please come to my room and be with me?" She said, "I know that God is with me." She says, "I know that. I believe that. I trust that." But she said, "Mommy, I need somebody with skin." And isn't that true? they need us to be there to bring them comfort during their times and trials of life. And moms and dads, let's do all that we can to bring them comfort continually. But you know, Paul also in this context, he identifies that he urged them. And that word urge is most interesting. It means that he's in one sense begging and pleading with them, and then in another sense, he's challenging them and he's persuading them, hence, to walk worthy with our God. And sometimes our kids need urge, do they not? I remember as a young boy, I need urge to get out of bed and to go to school. And my dad, actually, I would rather my mom get me up than my dad, because my dad, he would urge me in ways that I didn't necessarily care for. I remember on a couple of occasions, and it only took a couple of times, he carried in a glass of water and he said, "If you don't get out of bed, I'm going to throw this on you." I didn't believe him the first time. The second time I should have, because he threw it on me. He urged me to get out of bed and to make something of myself. Well, the same is true, is it not, whenever it comes to our kids? Let's be honest. Sometimes they have a lazy bone about them. Sometimes they don't act as quickly as they ought to. And we need to encourage, we need to comfort, we need to urge them to do what God expects them to do in their relationship with our God. I read something about a jockey who was very successful, especially whenever it came to his riding this one particular horse. And he had an unbelievable record. And they asked him, sports writers for the papers asked him and said, "You know, you've won so many different races. How have you been able to accomplish that?" And said, "We noticed something really strange, though, about what you're doing as you're on the horse." Said, "You're about a quarter of the way into it." And said, "You lean up on the horse like you're whispering something into its ear." And said, "We don't believe that that's really what you're doing." But said, "What are you doing?" He said, "No, I'm whispering something into the horse's ear." And they said, "Really?" Said, "What are you saying to the horse?" And he says, "I tell my horse, roses are red, violets are blue, horses that lose are made into glue." We need to urge our children to understand that if they do not walk worthy of God, is that someday they will be lost. And that God does not want that, nor do we. Rather, is that God has a place for them in heaven, a reward that we are striving for ourselves and that we want them also to live for as they live their lives here in this world. Today, as parents, I want to encourage those who are still raising your children to raise them to walk worthy of God, to use the examples that God gives us in His Word, not only from the context of our lesson this morning, but to read the context of what God says in the broadest sense and apply those standards in your rearing of your children, that whenever they are grown and out of your home, that they might live faithful before God. Those of us where our children are out of our home, let's continue to encourage them to walk worthy of God. And if they're not working worthy of God, let's urge them to come back or to come to God and to walk worthy before God. The lesson this morning has not necessarily been about becoming a Christian, but about responsibilities as Christian parents. But at the same time, we want to encourage, we want to urge those who are outside of the body of Christ that you need to take advantage of the opportunities that you have. And today is one of those opportunities, and in reality, it might be the last. I don't know. You don't know. But I do know that we have this very present moment. And if you're not a Christian, we encourage you, we urge you to find the comfort that God has in Christ whenever you put Christ on in baptism. If you're subject to the Lord's call in any way this very hour, please come. As